Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, and thank you for the opportunity that is ours this morning to come into your presence to worship you. Guide us by your Spirit. Father, we want to lift up the names on that prayer list.
There's a lot of them.
And I thank you, Father, for just the way you take care of us, just the way you walk with us. But there are some here that are hurting. They've lost their loved ones. They've been told they have cancer. They've been struggling with cancer or a multitude of other things. And we lift them up to you this morning, and Father, say, thy will be done. We pray, O God, on earth as it is in heaven, thy will be done. We pray for the salvation of our communities. We pray for the salvation of our nation. We pray for the revival of the church, O God. We've been reminded this again this last few days in our particular conference that the people that are going to churches in America anymore is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The percentage is getting less and less. And in essence, in many places, the church is dying. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, revive your church. Save souls. Help us to be holy people. Help us to be people that love our neighbors as ourselves intentionally. Help us to be people of Jesus. And thereby, invite others to put their faith in the Son of God also, and to be transformed and to be that new creation. Thank you, Father, for this gathering. Guide us by your Spirit. Guide all the churches in our region and our nation this morning. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to praise you, O God. And so I thank you for what you have done here and around the globe. Save souls. Revive your church to the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have not had the chance to be in on this series, I think most of you have, we're talking about the words from Jesus, this invitation, this command, this challenge of Jesus to follow me. And so if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 16, because I'm going to take a little short set of verses there. We're going to continue to talk about this command, this invitation of Jesus to follow him. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. After all, you never know if this is going to work or not, so you better have your Bible with you. Matthew 16, I'm going to pick it up at verse 21. If you've read through Matthew 16 lately, you will recall that just prior to this, Jesus has said to the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Do you remember the passage, brothers and sisters? Work, don't fall asleep on me yet. Do you remember the passage? He said, "Who are people saying that I am?" Well, some say Moses, some say Elijah, but who do you say that I am? You remember that story. Just after that, we pick it up here in verse 21. From that time forward, Jesus now begins to show his disciples that he, the Messiah, must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and even be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead. He began to tell them these things. Okay, put this all in context. He's asking him, "But who do you say that I am? Am I the Christ to you?" And then he starts telling him, "But I'm going to die after all." And so they're having a hard time processing this. We know that from the Gospels. And Peter, in verse 22, took him aside. That's Peter took Jesus. And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." This is Peter to the Son of God. "This shall not happen to you." After all, they had read in the Old Testament, "The kingdom of David shall be everlasting." And when the Messiah come, they assumed the kingdom was going to be established and be ongoing. 23, "But he turned and said to Peter," that's Jesus to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And I wish we had a lot more time today, because I'd like to ponder that for a few moments. I'm going to only say this about it. I fear that we today in 21st century America fall into the category we're way more concerned about the things of man than we are the things of God. And Jesus said to Peter that day, when Peter wanted to inject his own agenda into the Messiah's mission, Jesus said to Peter, as he would say to us when our own agenda gets in the way, get behind me, Satan. Stop thinking about your agenda, your pleasures, and your will, and start thinking about the kingdom of God, is what he would say to me and to us, I believe, today, as he said to Peter that day. Then Jesus said, listen to me, disciples, he said. If anyone desires to come after me, he must let him deny himself, number one, take up his cross, number two, and follow me. For whoever desires, he's telling them, he's building on that, for whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. If all you're thinking about is today and now, eternity, you will miss it. But whoever loses his life, whoever is willing to deny who you are, your individuality outside of Christ, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man? He's talking about humanity, women included here. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? As I read this the other day, actually a couple weeks ago, and getting prepared for today, the question came to my mind, and I'm going to ask you to consider for a moment. How important is it for the would-be follower of Jesus to be willing to get our own agenda out of the way to actually genuinely follow Christ? That's what I ask myself. You see, when you read this story and you see Peter's response, no, Lord, this should not happen to you. You are the Messiah after all. When we see Peter's response and then Jesus' response to Peter's response, it is Peter's agenda versus the agenda of God. That's why I ask the question, how important is it for me and for us in the church today to get our own agendas out of the way to really follow Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I read what Jesus said to Peter, I get the idea that if I'm going to be his follower, I better get my own ideas, my own agenda, my own desires, and all of that out of the way so I can actually genuinely follow him. You see, friends, God has given us free will. And he's not going to fight you for your will. We have to choose to follow. We have to choose to get our own agenda out of the way. We have to choose to surrender completely to Christ. It's like I said here a couple weeks ago about the truth. We have to decide what is truth. And so I ask myself, how important is it for the would-be follower of Jesus to be willing to set my own agenda aside? Peter had an agenda. It wasn't for Jesus to die. It was to reign. And the response to that was, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Stop thinking about the things of men and start thinking about the things of God. I don't know, friends, But I'm just gonna call it like it is here. I don't think we can be his follower if we're going to say, yeah, I'll be your follower with strings attached. Are you still with me? I don't think we can be the follower he's asking us to be when he says, follow me, if I'm going to go into it saying, I will follow Jesus, but I'm still going to do the worldly things. I'm still going to do my own thing. I've still got my agenda after all. I don't think we can follow Jesus if we're going to attach the buts and the ifs. When he said, deny yourself, I'm going to tell you what that means in just a moment. He meant it. When he said, be willing to take up your cross, he meant it. And this idea, I will follow Jesus, but if it's handy, if I have time, if I haven't got nothing else to do, if I get a little older, if I've had a little fun first, this idea, I will follow Jesus, if, is not following Jesus. It's certainly not denying ourselves. And that's what he said we have to start with. We have to start with denying ourselves if we're going to follow Jesus. I don't know if you've done any research or any studying about this, or even if you care for that matter what deny yourself means, but I'm going to enlighten us just a little bit. I don't know if you've pondered lately what it means to take up your cross, but I'm going to enlighten us just a little bit. Denying ourselves. This is what Jesus said we have to start with. If you would come after me, and let me just say this, if we never get around to following him, the only eternity that awaits us is hell. Are you with me? You still with me this morning, brothers and sisters? If we don't get around to following Christ, passionately surrendering, repenting of our sin, which means turning from who we used to be, inviting him into our lives to be Lord, the only eternity that waits us is hell. Okay, now, back to what does it mean to deny ourselves? I guess what I'm saying is I would implore you, get right with God through faith in his Son before it's too late. Now, what does Jesus ask of the would-be follower? According to what he just said here to his disciples, deny yourself means to yield to his control. Denying myself means Jim yields to the control of Jesus. It means we need to so completely yield to him that myself has no rights. Now keep that in mind for a minute, because in America, we get hung up on my rights. Are you still with me? Deny yourself means to yield to his control so completely that self has no rights. That's what denying ourselves means, and that's what he asks of us. You know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and so once in a while, we refer back to a Hebrew meaning or a Greek meaning. I'm not trying to be all smart on you. I'm just trying to tell you sometimes these things have deeper meanings. The Greek meaning of deny means to deny utterly. It means to disown yourself. You start to get the flavor of what he's saying when he says, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to start by denying yourself. And that Greek word means utterly, completely disown who you are. That's what it means. Why? So I can surrender to who he wants me to be and who I can be in him. I'll tell you right now, friends, this whole idea of denying ourselves is not natural. Can I get a witness? It's not natural for Jim. It surely wasn't natural for Peter. And it might not be natural for y'all either. But that is what he has called us to. Deny who you were. Come to Christ and be who I want you to be. It's not popular to deny ourselves. And quite frankly, from what I see and read and listen to, it's not happening in 21st century America. It's not happening. And I'll tell you why it's not happening. Because we are way more concerned about our rights in America and our comforts. We're way more concerned about ourselves and worshiping at the altar of self. No, we wouldn't say we're guilty of idolatry, but that's what's happening. And so when Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you start with denying who you are, which means self has no rights. We're not very good at that in America. Because all we want to do is yell, yeah, but I got my rights. I got my rights to do this. I got my rights to do that. And we don't want to deny ourselves to follow Jesus, even in the church houses of America. And I submit to us today, brothers and sisters, if the church of God is ever going to experience any kind of revival, it needs to start in the church, and it needs to start with people that have denied themselves, humbled ourselves, and got serious with Jesus. What about taking up our cross? You see, when Jesus said to the disciples, they might have had an idea of what denying themselves meant, I don't know. But when he said, take up your cross, they had a really good idea of what that meant. You see, the disciples of Jesus, they would have seen what the Romans had done on crosses around the region before. They would have seen the humiliation, the torture, the crucifixion, and death. They would have seen that firsthand with their eyes. And when Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you got to start with denial. Because if you never deny yourself, you're never going to be willing to take up your cross. And then he said, you've got to take up your cross. They knew what that could mean. They could conclude, if I am going to need to take up my cross to follow this Messiah, it could likely lead to humiliation. It could likely mean and lead to suffering. And it could likely mean death for Jesus. Are you still with me this morning, brothers and sisters? This is what Jesus has called the church to in 21st century America, and we're not there. I don't see too many people with their hands raised in America say, yeah, I'm ready to take up my cross. And that's what he called us to. That's why the Chinese delegation said to Americans 4 years ago when we had our general conference, we're going to have another one next month in Orlando, you need some persecution to see if your faith is even real. These men that day knew what it meant to take up your cross. And Jesus said to them, as he says to the church today, if you are going to be my disciple, if you are going to come after me, part of your coming after me is being willing to take up your cross, be humiliated for the cause of Christ, be wounded, be scorned, be ridiculed, and maybe die for Jesus. That's what he asked of them. That's not popular in America, I might add. I wonder how many today in this nation that I love so well, that are sitting in churches this morning, will raise their hands and say, I'm ready to carry my cross for you, Jesus. You see, friends, thank you, brother. This 90-some-year-old brother, he said, I'm ready. You see, friends, in North Korea, where they're dying for their faith, they said, I'm willing. In China, you've seen the news where they're tearing down the churches, tearing down the cross, burning churches, demolishing churches, putting pastors in jail. They have said, I am willing to deny who I used to be. I am willing to take up my cross to follow Jesus, even if it means humiliation and death. Or Pakistan, or Iran, or Africa, or Colombia, or a whole India, or a whole multitude of other places, because of persecution, their faith needs to be real. If their faith isn't real, they aren't going to take the step of faith. But Jesus says, when you take that step of faith, 12 that day, and people of today in America, you had better start by denying who you are, being willing to put on your cross and follow, even if it means unto death. That's what he asks of us. But we're too busy in America. We're too busy with our own agendas. We're too busy getting ready for the golden years. Somebody told me the other day, when you finally reach them, they ain't that golden. So why bother? We're too busy. Listen to me now. I'm trying not to be condescending, but I'm trying to help us in the church wake up and follow Jesus before it's too late for America. We're too busy cheering on the prosperity gospel leaders that are saying, name it and grab it, even if you need a new jet or a new Mercedes-Benz. That's not what Jesus said. We're too busy worshiping at the altar of prosperity preachers that will say, your best life now. That's not what deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me means. Your best life is not now. It will be in glory if we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him now. Our best life is yet to come. We're too busy being comfortable. We're too busy with ourselves and our own agenda. We don't even see the brokenness around us. That is what he has called us to. Take the church outside the four walls and love your neighbors in ways that they see Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus is saying to Peter that day, and he said to Jim on a whole lot more occasions than one, because I ain't that quick at learning either, stop listening to your own wants, your own agenda, your own desires, and start listening to the voice of God. You see what Jesus said to him? You see what he said in that verse when he said to him, you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of man. And I believe Jesus would say the same thing to the church today. You've not been very mindful of the things of God, but rather the things of man. And I would say to us, friends, quite simply, we need to stop thinking life is all about us. And we need to really understand what Jesus means when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross,
and follow me. The church. I'm not talking about names on the sign. People of Jesus need to start figuring out what Jesus said when he said, follow me. And I know I've taken more time than I planned to because I want to spend time in communion here. But I want to say this to close. Those of you that were here when I started this series, I started in John 21. Do you remember, brothers and sisters? Some of you. Nobody. Well. That's encouraging. Well, I started in John chapter 21 with this other conversation between Peter and Jesus at the seashore when Jesus said to him, do you love me more than these? That's what he asked him. Do you love me, Peter, more than you love these guys in the fishing industry and everything that you used to be? And after that dialogue of then feed my sheep and asking him three times, do you love me? He finally gets to the point of saying, then follow, Peter. It all starts with love, brothers and sisters. You can't deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus mechanically. It all starts because I love Jesus. That's where it starts. And if we haven't got to the point of I love him so much, I am going to surrender everything to him, we're never going to deny ourselves, we're never going to take up our cross, and we blame sure aren't going to die for him. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Jim? Do you love me enough to follow? That's what he's asking us. That's what he's asking the church today. They're following in other places and they're dying. Do you love me enough in America to follow? That's what he's asking us. Jennifer and Dale, come up here. I'm going to apologize right now. Time is over, but we haven't had communion. We're going to have communion. I just want us, my heart screams, wake up, church. My heart screams out for America, how God has blessed us, how he has loved us, how he has taken care of us, and I am so thankful for America. But the American church has gone to sleep. And we need to adhere the words of Jesus and follow him. To be continued.